I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news, and I think the new microphone is working. You're listening to it right now. Let me know. Colin Jost had some jokes about Matt Gaetz. He said Matt Gaetz is back in the news, but this time it's good. I'm kidding. It's still the sex stuff. Jost said Gaetz looks like all the dudes from American Pie combined. Now, Gaetz reportedly sent $900 via Venmo to an alleged sex trafficker. That trafficker is said to have forwarded the same amount to young women in payments labeled tuition and school. Jost said, if true, this would make Gaetz the only congressman actually helping with student loans. Quality joke there. Gaetz had a speaking engagement at the Women for America First Summit. Joe said it's a nice change to see women pay for an hour with Matt Gaetz. Michael Che also crushed it. He said Senator Mitch McConnell denounced corporations opposing Georgia's new voting law, saying that they should stay out of politics. Che said, coincidentally, stay out of politics is also Georgia's new rule for black people. Wow. Jay continued, former President Donald Trump also released a statement urging his followers to boycott Coca-Cola, which is surprising because I'd guess Don Jr. would be the one who would have a problem with Coke. Quality jokes there. Hey, Joe Biden had said that all American adults would be eligible to get a coronavirus by April 19th, per Jimmy Fallon, or as Biden calls it, Operation Early Bird Special. Colbert said, when Joe Biden was running, he promised 100 million shots in 100 days, but we've blown past that barrier, baby. The U.S. is now administering about 3 million shots per day on average. The administration is delivering pricks in arms, as opposed to the last administration, which delivered armed pricks. Colbert said, way to go, Joe, getting it done early. Although supporters of the previous president are quick to point out that he was able to finish his entire presidency a whole 4 years before his original goal. Fallon, you know more people are vaccinated when pajama sales go down and Spanx go up. Kimmel, I have to say this. This is going to be a solid plan. You get vaxxed on 419, then you smoke it up on 420. Stephen Colbert, I think LeVar Burton should host Jeopardy as Geordi LaForge from Star Trek, and the buzzer should be phasers, and Data should be the judge, and it should be in space and just be Star Trek. Conan O'Brien said, now that I know Dr. Jill Biden isn't a medical doctor, I really regret showing her my rash. Patton Oswalt, when the polio vaccine dropped in 1955, people lined up to get it, and we were 2 years away from artificial satellites. Now in 2021, we carry external world brains in our pockets, and there's robots on Mars, and idiots think the COVID vaccine is full of wizard poison. This is Ruff from LAD Bible, your home for comedy news. Lewis Spears was in the middle of his bit about the British royal family. Yeah, are you cringing yet? And how they've recently been in the news for all the wrong reasons. Spears was doing his material. He was talking about Oprah and Harry and Meghan and stuff. And he said, the royals are in the news. The royal family, the royal controversy. Can you believe that the royals are bad people? Yeah, they live in castles. Of course they're not very nice. Have you guys not seen Shrek? Not a good joke. I saw one headline that was like, has the royal family lost touch with the commoners? Yes. What gave it away? Was it the crown? Was it the cape? The throne? Or was it when they invented the term commoners? Not bad. But then he moved on to another subject and he said, have you guys seen Prince Philip? That C word is 3,000 years old. I'm pretty sure he invented racism. At which point one member of the crowd yelled out, he died, and the rest of the audience laughs. As the chuckling settled, others informed Lewis Spears that, yeah, the Duke of Edinburgh had died. He was given the statement that Buckingham Palace had confirmed the sad news, and everybody was cracking up at the awkwardness of the moment. He didn't care. He kept going with the jokes. He said, I have to say, a bit overdue. Are we sure he died today? I reckon he died 10 years ago, and they wheel him out attached to strings at special events. People look at him and go, ah, I reckon that guy's dead. And then someone comes up behind him and goes, I don't like women. And everybody goes, oh, he's fine. For a while, I was thinking the only thing keeping him alive was the power of racism. That sounds like it was wonderfully awkward. Let me plug real quick. I have mentioned in the past, I'm the writer on a podcast called Palace Intrigue. It's like this, minus comedy, plus royal family. We do 5 minutes a day about the royal family. We're all about Philip this week. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. From the South China Morning Post. Now I wish I hadn't wasted the your home for comedy news joke, but I already did, so I can't use it again, right? Right? Yeah? Did I do it again? Whatever. A Chilean television program is facing blowback after airing a parody sketch of K-pop superstars BTS. Oh, yeah, I admit I'm doing this story because BTS gets a lot of social media hits, and I want you guys to come by. Hi, BTS fans. On Saturday, the Chilean comedy show Mi Barrio aired a skit featuring a group of men parodying members of BTS. while misspeaking Korean and mocking Korean names. The show also made fun out of the COVID-19 vaccination and of North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. This article goes out of their way to point out that under the rule of Kim Jong-un, the United Nations Human Rights Council has reported a high death toll and numerous crimes against humanity targeting dissenters of the Kim regime. But I think we digress from a sketch about BTS, no? A Chilean fan base account on Twitter known as BTS Chile shared some details about the sketch, and they translated it and they gave updates as the story progressed. This is major BTS fans. The story said, last night, Chilean comedy TV show Mi Barrio presented a parody performance of BTS where all the jokes were based on racism and xenophobia, including mockery of their language, their names, and a joke related to the pandemic. The situation is extremely insensitive considering the discriminatory attacks the Asian community has suffered globally. It is time for you to vote for comedy's top dog, sitcom versus TV show thing, whatever I'm calling it this week. Anyway, oh my goodness. All right. Did you hear the cat? You hear the cat? I'm using the session from last week with the cat, and I forgot to mute the tracks, and I'm recording, and suddenly there's a cat in my headset. Ridiculous. I have to delete the cat track. Sorry, I got totally distracted by a cat meowing. Oh, my God. Why don't I edit this stuff out? Where were we? It's comedy's top dog. This week, it is Seinfeld the show versus Chappelle's show. I'm all messed up here. Seinfeld the show versus Chappelle's show. Stop meowing at me. You go to Instagram, at Daily Comedy News. There's a picture. It has the Seinfeld logo and the Chappelle show logo. In the comments, you vote. I read your comments on the air. That's how this works. Now, I had forgotten about this. Luckily, Susan posted it on the Instagram. Thank you, Susan. From the AV Club, the internet is forcing us to reckon with Seinfeld's impossible architecture. Oh my, what is this? Seinfeld Reddit recently dealt with a post called Jerry's Hallway Can't Exist. The Reddit consists of an overhead computer-generated mock-up of the familiar apartment, including a helpful diagram showing that its door opens at an angle that would make the outside hallway an architectural impossibility. Now, I'm looking here, and if you look at the graphic, Jerry's front door to his apartment's at a bit of an angle, and then we know that Kramer's directly across the hall, so if you draw a straight line down that hallway, it would cut through Jerry's kitchen. Oh my, this doesn't work. Esquire points out that one can accept the impossible space with the same kind of suspended disbelief that allows us to buy into a show where a moderately successful comedian can even afford an Upper West Side apartment that would probably cost about $4,600 a month in rent if adjusted for inflation. If you scroll through my feed far back enough, there are two episodes where I analyzed Jerry's bookcase. So if you want to go back, these episodes are from January 2020, so you're going to have to really scroll back through the feed. But one episode is called, Does Jerry Openly Have Porn on His Bookshelf? The answer is yes, by the way. And another episode is called, What Else Does Jerry Have on His Bookshelf? You should check those out. Joe Coy spoke to the Last Laugh podcast. He's a big fan of Jay Leno. He said, that guy changed my life. When I got on The Tonight Show, it was late in the game, back when Johnny was doing it. The whole world watched. Now there are so many outlets and so many shows, but The Tonight Show still has that signature name. It was my first national set on a huge platform. I was going to speak to people that had never seen me before, so my mentality was, I'm going for the jugular. I need my life to change. I've got four jobs right now, and I'm tired of going on stage with mustard on my shirt because I was cleaning tables. And at the end of my set, I got that standing ovation. I remember looking to my side and seeing Jay wave me over. I got to sit on the couch. It was one of the best moments of my life. Let's check in on the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Nath Valvo is at Max Watts until April 18th. They say Nath Valvo is one of Australia's most cheer-bringing personalities. Even when you're not laughing, you're having a hilarious time. It's fascinating to see how his manic pixie aura has been tinted by 2020. Not that it's his overt subject. Instead, he gleefully pounces from true crime obsessives to the unspoken crappiness of Airbnbs to his fear of getting married. His talons as sharp as ever, but this is also Peter Pan discovering the inevitable facts of aging, Marty McFly realizing you can never go back and change things. There's greater depth to Valvo's act now, though his machine gun pacing gives way to slightly more measured delivery too. Some of his richest material centers on the long-term relationship. Valvo's partner is an infectious disease expert and championship Iron Man, and the comedian knows he's hitting way, way out of his league. There's a power in being second best, he says. There's zero doubt he's still the funniest guy in the room. That's a strong review. Max Watts is where you'll find Nath Valvo if you happen to be in Melbourne through April 18th. That is your comedy news for today. If you like what I do and you'd like to support me, you can go to buymeacoffee.com. This is supposed to be a large iced coffee with milk and caramel. Somebody at Donuts Chain forgot to hit the caramel, so this thing is basically black and I'm not enjoying it. Luckily, I paid for this one myself, not using your funds at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You can follow this podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you don't already, and I appreciate it, and I'll see you tomorrow.